Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. How's everybody doing? It is Wednesday, January 7th, 2025. Yesterday is the five-year anniversary of a really sad day for our country, January 6th. And we're going to talk some more about some weird shit that happened in our country later. But first, I wanted to say, despite all the madness and weirdness in the world, I'm very grateful for each and every one of you for listening. Thank you all for your support, whether you're sharing the podcast, rating, reviewings, if you're sponsoring the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, I want you to know that I genuinely do appreciate the support. It may not seem like much, and it's $3 for a reason. I didn't want to really twist people's arms to support this thing. But I want to be able to do more content-driven stuff as opposed to just like, you know, the occasional post here and there. I want to actually do more podcast stuff that's more exclusive and more niche over on Patreon. So again, write into the Patreon. Let me know what you're interested in. Let me know your thoughts, questions, comments, all that jazz. And I would love to read those. And then if I get enough good stuff, I can put it together for a great Patreon exclusive episode just for you wonderful people. So don't hesitate to take advantage of that. I really appreciate it. And the world's weird, man. The world's always weird. I know we went into 2025 with optimism and shiny, you know, starry eyes. And now we're coming into 2026 and we're like, fuck, man. It's kind of tough, you know. There's good stuff out there. But, you know, it's weird how much weird stuff is out there. Like, just weird, weird bad, weird bizarre, and weird just like, what in the hell? In a what the hell moment, I actually read something today about actress Evangeline Lilly, which was kind of sad, and I did not know this. You may remember Evangeline Lilly from some turns on the TV show Lost, also in Smallville. She was in Lost as Kate Austin, I guess, for quite a few seasons. She was also in the Hobbit film. She played Toriel before she ended up being Hope Van Dyne in the Ant-Man films and then in the MCU in general. She recently just put out, I guess, like a, I don't know if it's like a post or something, like basically a statement saying that she has suffered brain damage due to a traumatic brain injury. She fell, I guess, when she was at the beach earlier last year and hit her face on a boulder, but that she had been prone to fainting spells since she was a kid. So then she got a concussion and said that she had to leave acting because of the injuries that she had. She had taken a break, I guess, for a little while because something similar had happened, but she's kind of found out that she's just, you know, having some debilitating brain issues. It's just like, it's so weird because you see people in like the MCU, and it's not uncommon. I mean, we had the obvious tragedy with Chadwick Boseman passing away and losing our king T'Challa for Black Panther. But it's sometimes you can kind of lose track of the fact that these are human beings; they're regular people. I know they're actors and all that stuff, but you know the only real interaction most of us will ever have with them is through a television screen. So that was just kind of like a weird, bizarre thing. It's like, man, you don't really think about that. Like, you know it. It's in the back of your mind the whole time, right? That these are human beings. They're just actors. They're not, that's not really Superman flying around on the screen, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it kind of puts you on the back foot to think about, you know, just because it makes you think about your own mortality. But like, you know, you see these people in these superhero movies and stuff like that, and you're like, oh man, they're so cool. They do this, that, and the other. It's got these powers. And then you're like, oh shit, the real person who's playing them is actually very ill. It was kind of a weird thing because I know it. Like I said, I'm not stupid. But you know, with your suspension of disbelief, sometimes I think comes a little bit of the suspension of actual reality, which is one of the reasons why you've heard stories of people going crazy and attacking like soap opera stars, or you know, spitting on, I think it was the young guy who plays Joffrey Baratheon in Game of Thrones. People would spit at him because they hated his character so much. I mean, that means you did a great job as an actor. But he's like, but I'm a real dude. I didn't actually fucking, you know, cut people's heads off and put them on spikes. That was for TV. That was joke. That was like imagination. That was playing pretend. These are real people, man. Like I said, we know it. And I think even up front, some of those like kind of wackadoo people who do that kind of stuff to actors and, you know, celebrities know that that's just, it's a facade. It's a show. But they can't separate it, which is very disappointing and very saddening. Goodness. Excuse me. Hold on. I got a little bit of something stuck in my throat here. But I made some hot tea to try to help alleviate some of this stuff. I definitely don't want to be getting sick. I was noticing something the other day that said that, I think it was something about the Department of Health and Human Services started rolling back, like, vaccination recommendations. And then, of course, I see the news today, and, like, flu cases are on the rise in Glynn County, which is just north of where we live here in Florida. And they're like, yeah, flu cases are on the rise because they've rolled back vaccine. They aren't going to say it out loud, right? But, like, they've rolled back vaccination mandates so far that, like, well, what do you do now? Whoops. It's a little late to go and get them vaccinated once they already get fucking whooping cough. You got to let it ride and then do it again. But, I mean, this is, like I said, it's weird that people don't pay attention to science or anything like that. Like, goodness, what could have possibly been the reason for all the low rates and severe illnesses? Why did smallpox come back? You know what I'm saying? It's weird that that stuff is happening. And the people who are supposed to be in charge of, you know, just in charge, period. You know, no matter what office or department they oversee, are just like, we don't have to listen to science. We can do whatever we want. Yeah. And then this kind of shit happens, you know? Good God. I find it very bizarre, but it's not unexpected. You know what I mean? We don't have the brightest people running this country. Every one of them is about as, was the Wu-Tang Clan, the thought's about as bright as a 20-watt light bulb. And it's just like, yeah, they really, if you could scrape together a solid brain amongst the bunch of them, you're kind of at a deficit because of Bobby Kennedy getting his brains eaten. But if you could scrape together an entire brain to fit amongst all of them, like, it would be a lot to ask. You know, this is how stupid they are. So we've already heard about the Trump administration and, you know, conducting a military operation to kidnap President Maduro of Venezuela. We all know that that's illegal. We all know that it's essentially an act of war. And then Congress is basically just, you know,
well, I guess that was a very evil thing to have done. I don't know why someone would take it upon themselves to attack a sovereign nation. And we strongly condemn this in the most stern of terms.
Shut the fuck up, you fucking nerds. This is why nobody respects the Democratic Party. I'll be honest with you. Even most Democrats are like, I just don't want to vote for those people. So I'm on this side. I've changed my sitting to independent a long time ago. Just because I found in that, like, none of them actually personify any kind of, you know, moral quality that I find overwhelmingly appealing. Republicans are bullies, bigots, and racists by and large, which is, you know, not, like I said, not all Republicans, of course, but whatever. Those who don't, you know, follow that track, especially if they vote Republican, you know, no matter what, there's like Democrats blue no matter who. I don't know about all that shit, man. Republicans are too punitive and whiny and snivelly, and it's just like, I'm not Republicans, I mean Democrats, they're too whiny and snivelly and just milquetoast about a lot of shit, and it doesn't sit right with me either, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have any problem with treating people fairly and equitably. That's a basic human right, right? That's borderline basic bitch human decency, right? That's like, just not fucking with other people is like the cafe latte, basically, of human decency. And I think that sometimes Democrats go, and I'll say Democrats just for this, but I mean, people who are more left/liberal leaning go so far to the point where it looks ridiculous to anybody else, It's like, wow, that's really bizarre. And people on the right go so far in the opposite direction that it looks monstrous. And neither one is appealing. And I think most of us generally tend to lean, like, to stand a little bit closer to the middle. But I just, every time I look at something that these idiots in power are doing, I just go like, ah. You know, the fact that a judge even heard this case about Maduro is staggering to me. Any judge who is worth their fucking robe or worth the bench would have been like, send this motherfucker home. Do I like him? Do I think he's a good person? No, of course not. But this is how you get World War III. Do you want World War III? Because that's how you get World War III. And all the other, you know, I mean, some people are calling it conspiracy theory. I don't know. There was some post that I read recently. And again, this right here is unverifiable information. I don't know. I wasn't there and I couldn't say for sure. One of the reports was that Russia actually had some dignitaries that were in Venezuela at an embassy 2 weeks before this Maduro strike thing happened. A young homeboy and his wife and kid up in the middle of the night, right? They got their people out of there 2 weeks ago. That was the word on around the campfire. Also, that China had made some different concessions along with, you know, I think another, I'm trying to remember exactly who it was. I don't know if it was China and Russia, but it was China and some other foreign power had brokered some deals with Venezuela just days before all this shit shakes down. And the timing of all this stuff is highly coincidental. Of course, we don't want to deal with the Epstein files because, you know, if we had to deal with that, then we have to deal with the fact that our president, before he was the president, by the way, committed some atrocious crimes, those which he could be tried for. Now they're like, oh, he's got presidential immunity for shit he does while in the commission of his office as the president, which even still, I find that presidential immunity, that kind of political immunity and whatnot, you know, that kind of, I don't care for that idea. Because it just basically means that as long as you can justify the heinous shit you did as being in the interest of national security or bettering our interests as a country, you can do whatever you want. And people can justify a lot of shit in some really gross ways. So I've never really liked that idea. I think that that kind of blanket immunity is more dangerous and more harmful than it needs to be. It's really bizarre to hear people argue against that. Like, go like, nuh-uh, he should be able to do whatever. What if he decided just because, you know, maybe you had spoken out against one of his policies last year, the year before he actually got the election, won the election and was, you know, was campaigning and he was on the trail. And he thought he didn't like what you said. And he decided, well, he's going to snatch you up and put bamboo shoots under your fingernails and have you waterboarded daily until you recanted all your statements. Would that be okay? Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't like that at all. Oh, but anything he does as president is fine as long as it's somebody you don't like. They're like, yeah, now you're getting it. Fucking shut up. It's so terrifying because I think the scary thing about it is the people who are supposed to have the checks and balances, like Congress is supposed to be able to say, like, hey, you can't just go and do wild shit like kidnap a president of another sovereign nation without us approving this shit. And like, we didn't tell Congress. We just did whatever we wanted. And they did nothing. Nothing. The whole Congress should have come together, both sides. This should not be a partisan issue at all. This is an issue of pure constitutional integrity. They should have been like, nope, get the Secret Service, get the military, whoever you got, go in there, bust them fucking doors open and drag his ass from behind that desk and bring him to Leavenworth. He's a criminal. He broke the fucking law. I mean, point blank period. There's no real justification for this except literally the joke that Dave Chappelle meant. Hey, who talking about oil, bitch, you cooking? The only reason you did this was for oil. He said it out loud. He's like, we're going there to get the oil. We're going to get the oil free, freely flowing. We're going to have other oil companies come in and rebuild the oil infrastructure. It's just for the fucking money. Oh, not just for the money. A little bit of a, you know, smoke and mirrors job to keep us from thinking about the Epstein files and probably not even to consider the installation of, you know, Maduro's second in command, who was vice president at the time, as the new leader of the country for as long as we can, you know, they can deal with her or keep her in line. But it's kind of funny that, you know, people are saying like Maduro probably like, you know, went along with this whole dog and pony show to try to like, you know, take some of the heat off of Trump in return for concessions. But then when he got here, shit got weird. I think that he got here, things weren't quite as, you know, buttoned up as he would have liked. And he goes, I'm pleading guilty to this shit. Fuck you. I think something when he said he was going to, because why would you plead not guilty to the charges that you basically walked yourself out of your house for? You know, just as docile as a lamb. Don't ask for bail. Don't ask for an attorney. Just basically say you're not guilty and just sit there. If it were me and I had struck some deal with a foreign dictator, essentially, so that he could make me look good, and then he reneged on the deal, he'd have got Epstein'd. We wouldn't know his name anymore. Your boy would have been on some bedsheet, you know, some bedsheet swings, let's put it that way. But that's the thing that makes me feel like there's way more behind this than we could possibly, you know, truly know. And again, this is just theory. This is just conjecture. I don't like to lend into like a lot of conspiracy theory, but I don't think it's as much of a conspiracy when they come out and say, hey, we did this for oil. That's not really a conspiracy. He admitted it on international television. And then they did this dumb shit today. They basically hijacked, essentially, this tanker. And this is what kills me. They've been chasing this tanker from reports for over a month, right? It's an oil tanker out of Venezuela. They've been chasing it for a month. I don't know about you, but I know the United States has much faster ships than this, and it shouldn't take them a month to run this thing down. So this was just, again, this is another smoke show. You're wasting, you know, manpower, personnel, hours, money. All to chase one dinky ass little fucking oil tanker. Come to find out, once they get it, Russia says that they own it. So now, the United States has not only committed an act of war, essentially, against the people and the president of Venezuela, whether you like the guy or not, it's immaterial at this point. We committed an act of war against another sovereign nation. And then, by by stealing an oil tanker from another one of our enemies, Russia, you're basically starting a war on two fronts and a war you can't fight. God forbid Russia decides they're going to retaliate somehow. It's a wrap. You might not even hear this podcast. Next thing you might hear, air raid sirens. But here's the other kicker. The fucking tanker is empty. So you went to go and steal oil and you didn't even get oil. You got an empty fucking tanker looking like a jackass. And here's the other thing too. It wasn't just this one. There's two of them. There's two of them. They're trying to get two different tankers. And then what they're trying to do is also alleviate some of the sanctions so that they can be like, oh, we can sell these. We can sell this oil. We can sell the oil. Like we're gonna steal the oil, then instead of actually, you know, I don't know, like really, why would you invest in the infrastructure if you could just steal it when it comes off the coast, right? This is so stupid. And the oil companies who are actually entertaining this shit, it's one of the reasons why I've always said I don't really care for electric cars. I don't like them, right? They feel dangerous and gitchy and weird. I would love a solar powered vehicle though. Putting your power back into the people's hands, solar powered vehicles would be awesome. There's actually a whole, I have to find the article at some point. I'll find it and maybe put it through Blue Sky. There's a whole article about how a guy produced an engine that could run on water. Imagine that. The most readily abundant and renewable source of energy or resource period on the planet. And you could run your car with a gallon of it. Are you kidding me? But of course you can't have that kind of technology in the hands of the average people because, I mean, that would just empower them, right? There'd be no one to rake over the coals for a resource that falls out of the fucking sky. Ugh, I know it does sound like conspiracy theory corner, but I swear, there's meat on these bones somewhere. I just think it's funny that they're like they're gonna steal the oil, and then their plan was to just remove the sanctions on this somehow. I'm not sure exactly what they think they're gonna be doing. Let's see, it says, oh, here we go. Let's check this out. Marco Rubio suggested the oil seized by the U.S. with sanctioned vessels would be sold as part of a deal announced by Trump on Tuesday, under which Venezuela would provide up to 50 million barrels of oil to the United States. One of those ships that was seized had oil in the Caribbean. You know what the interim authorities are asking for in Venezuela, says Rubio. They want that oil that was seized to be part of this deal. They understand the only way they can move oil and generate revenue and not have economic collapse is if they cooperate and work with the United States. Fuck that. In a way, and I know it sounds crazy and it sounds wholly irresponsible and apparently an environmental nightmare, I'd blow them up if I was Venezuelan. I'm like, oh, you want? Fine, we'll set this shit on fire. Open up all those, you know, tankers. Drop a Molotov cocktail on that shit and float it into the ocean. Aim it right for DC. Like, bum, bum. I'm like, yep, we're done. Here's your fucking oil, fat man. This is one of the reasons why I'll never run for office, by the way. I'd be way too reckless. There'd be some shit that, like, if I was able to do, like, Trump kind of shit, I would do wild shit, but it would be, like, that kind of thing. Like, oh, you want to fuck with me? I'll show you who you're fucking with. That really bothers me, too. Like, the almost minimal amount, if any, of pushback from supposedly well-intentioned and rational people is absolutely staggering. Like, just thinking about it right now, it's one of the reasons why I've wanted to move out of this country for years. I mean, I wish I had done it like a decade ago. This country is, I feel like the same way I kind of feel about like our house right now with this whole HOA situation. Oh, which by the way, we did call for the HOA to hold a special session, so we could do an election and replace the basically swept in under the rug HOA board. But the assholes over at the CAM team and the HOA board have all decided to collude together and say, well, we're just going to have a session. We could talk about our issues. Fuck you. No one wants to talk to you. Get them out. Get new people in. And I think the management team, the CAM team, they're part of like a remember we said this a couple months back? They're part of a suit that was being filed against them. They lost, by the way, in South Florida, where they were trying to put a lien against a disabled veteran's home. Because he had his driveway expanded without their permission to accommodate his handicapped accessible vehicle and basically live his fucking life, right? Without rolling down the street and into the traffic. And the CAM team was part of the HOA management company. They were the HOA management company there that was suing this guy. They lost. The NAACP, I think, got behind it as well. And I'm hoping that we can find some way to get rid of them here too, because they're absolute poison. And the guy who put them in there, who's going to lie and say he didn't have anything to do with it? Bullshit, you didn't. But yeah, he's definitely going to lie and say like, well, I had nothing to do with that. They just magically showed the fuck up. Nobody around here voted for him. Nobody in here knows where they came from, but you're the only one who's worked with them for almost two decades from your own lips. And they just magically just happened to wander up and be like, well, hey, looks like you guys might need a management company. How about that? We're here to help. Adam, is that you? Oh my gosh, it's been a while, hasn't it? Fuck out of my face with that shit. I hate when people fucking play with my fucking intelligence. It makes me want to hurt you. It really does. And I mean, that's just the thing. Like, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff because, I mean, I'm not trying to go to jail. But you know it makes me want to put my foot up your ass, right? These motherfuckers. I think it just irritates me that so many people just, they play with us like we're stupid. And because we're decent people, you know what I mean? Because I don't walk up on you with a pistol in your mouth doesn't mean that I don't wish ill for you. You know what I mean? I hope your feet itch every morning. But at the same time, it's like, yo, man, you got to come out with some better shit than this. Because eventually it's going to wear people's patience thin enough that they're going to start fucking you up. Like what happened just recently. And this is in Minneapolis. This was just earlier today. So ICE has been doing more raids because why wouldn't they? And, you know, the government's already cut off federal funding to 5 different democratically run cities. I think cities and states. Because Trump's a petty little bitch. And this is the only way that he can exert his power because of his, you know, failing health and his waning manhood. The only way he could do it is to hit people with money. Which is the real mark of a true pathetic individual. Like, a truly pathetic person is going to be like, well, I'll show you. Like, oh, come on. Really? That's not a manly approach to shit, bro. Gargamel tried to do that shit, trying to turn Smurfs into gold. What the fuck, man? You're a cartoon villain. And not even a good one at that. Anyway, ICE is doing more raids in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And a federal officer, one of them, they don't say exactly who it was. Obviously, they're not going to put that guy's information out there. But an ICE officer shot a woman in her vehicle in a residential neighborhood. They say that they allege that she tried to run him over with her car. But now there's people out there protesting ICE being in the city in general. 2,000 or so agents have been deployed to do this immigration crackdown. We're going after Somali residents who are committing fraud. That they found out that that case is also bullshit. That it was actually the ringleader was a white lady, and it had been under investigation and pretty much has been sealed off already. So the whole thing that they're tying this to is an old dead case that doesn't matter anymore. And it's just a way to just to propagate hate against ethnic minorities and immigrate, like people who've immigrated to the United States, legally or not, doesn't matter. It's just another way to try to push an ethno-state agenda. Yeah. And the people are really getting to the point where, I mean, if she's willing to risk being shot by running over somebody with her car, you've pushed people into a very desperate point. The mayor, Jacob Frey, said that immigration agents are causing chaos in the city, which is what they do everywhere they go. And he's like, we demand that ICE leave the city and state immediately. This is the only thing, again, this is how they all end up sounding like a bunch of weenies, right? Bro, you need to talk to your governor and mobilize the National Guard to stand against ICE. ICE has now become a terrorist organization. There's no plan. There's no warrants. They're just running around just grabbing brown people and throwing them into vans. Protect your citizenry. Mobilize the National Guard. Put M16s on the line and say, if you step over this line, we will blow your heads off. Does it sound nice? No. But is it in defense of the people? Yes. And is it in defense of the rights of those people who are here, legally or not, to show that America stands on the rule of law, not just bows over to tyranny? I'm for that all day, every day. If I were in the National Guard, I'd be like, oh, that assignment? I'm going for that one. I wasn't going to Chicago to, like, harass people. Hell nah. But to stand up for people in Minnesota? For sure. I wish I could get this dude, Tim Wise. I actually was watching a video of his. I've heard this dude speak multiple times on, like, racism and racial issues. Socioeconomic inequality and other things of that nature, and how, like, America's systems and programs have, you know, again, like, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of driven, shaped, and molded our perceptions as a society and as individuals. And listening to him break stuff down, I would love to just have him on the podcast one time. I'd just listen to the dude talk, really. But I can't wait to hear what he has to say about this bullshit that's going on right now, because he's got no love for this administration. I can tell you that, just from the videos I saw from him. Then some of these were as, you know, far back as like 10 years ago, 9-10 years ago. Yeah, he's not a big Trump fan. Pretty sure not a lot has changed in the interim. Trump has only just gotten worse, so I doubt it. But it's really terrifying. It's a weird and scary time to be here in the Americas. And like, the funky punk thing about it is, because, you know, people don't say anything and they don't stand up for themselves,
and they allow themselves to be beaten down and trodden on. And, you know, they're like, if it doesn't really affect me, if it's not going to cause me too much stress, I'd rather not deal with it. Yeah, that's how you get punked. You know what I mean? You could turn the other cheek until you run out of cheeks. You know what I mean? And then what are you going to do? You're going to bend over and take it? Because that's what they're going to want. When you let bullies get away with being bullies, they don't stop. They just keep pressing. And then before you know it, you'll be like, how did we get here? Because you wouldn't stand up for anything in the first fucking place. Don't cry to me later when it's like, well, I don't understand. That's why I can't deal with the MAGAs. Like, I hate it for you as a human being because I'm not wishing ill on you as a human being. But I'm absolutely happy that you guys are getting what you voted for. And finding out that you're part of us too. Yeah, that doesn't make me feel sad at all. But I also love it when that people's uppance comes because they always, especially when you don't do anything. It's one thing if you vote for something and you vote like for something that is going to be against your own self-interest, like voting for Donald Trump or anything that he's proposed as policy. Sure, that feels good to watch you get that. But it's way more painful when somebody either won't vote or just goes like, I'm not going to make an effort. I'm not going to try. And then complains. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You did nothing. At least this guy took a swung and missed. Right? Like, you didn't do shit. That drives me fucking crazy. And you see it a lot, too. You see it in different ways. Like, people don't see it quite as obviously, I guess, as it is projected in, you know, in the politics and, you know, the horrifying news that seems to be happening on a daily basis. But when Jimmy Kimmel got slapped up by Trump in CBS or ABC, was it? Yeah. You know, we got slapped up by ABC and people started canceling Disney Plus and like, whoa, 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 whoa. We need that money. We need that money. Jimmy, get back on the air. Get back on the air. And then Jimmy gets back on the air, which I'm going to be honest with you. I was kind of disappointed in, but I also would be like, for the bag though, I guess, right? But he get the bag and he's still talking shit. I think that's where I was like, I can live with this one because at least he's like, I didn't say anything bad before. I just told the truth. And now I'm about to be a motherfucking problem. And I got to say, I respect it. I respect it. Because he's like, what are you going to do? Fire me again? Go ahead. You want to see Bob Iger fucking turning tricks down Disney Boulevard because Disney go broke? It'll happen. Jimmy's like, I put Disney out of business. See, now, I guess, you know, they thought that they were bigger than Jimmy Kimmel, but apparently not. There's one weakness they got is that subscription model, man. They should have stuck with Disney DVD, bro. If you had stuck with Disney DVD, Disney Blu-ray, you'd have been balling out of control right now. Had to go and grab for the big prize, though, didn't you? You still have people by the short and curlies if you were still pushing video, but you don't. You only push the streaming service. You probably could have gotten away with pushing Jimmy around. I'm like, go ahead, motherfucker, leave. People still gonna buy DVDs. Everybody wants to see Beauty and the Beast. But now, you know, they got themselves stuck. And then you, like I said, in small ways, you see it. You know, whether it's, you know, ABC Disney going after Jimmy Kimmel, whether it's, you know, the horrifying news out of the White House every day, even little shit, which is weird. People doing anything they can to cut corners and cut costs, but not have to be accountable to the people and whom they serve with their products or services. Right? Like, I got a couple real life examples. Recently, we ordered some food from this place down the street from us. And every time we go there, the food's like, it's okay. It was okay at best. But then like one time we went there to order some stuff and like they just screwed all the orders up. And then they sent out some other food and it was fucked up too. I'm like, man, all this shit is just ruined. Like, it was, one of them was like completely the wrong order. Another one, they omitted something from the order. And then another one, they actually made the order that the food we asked for, but put a bunch of extra bullshit in it that we didn't want. So when they came back out, they basically just refried some shit real quick and threw it in a bowl. I'm like, It took you less than 3 minutes to make this. There's no fucking way this is cooked. Took it home and looked at it. I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm eating this. I'll have botulism tonight. And even like something as simple as like, you know, Dollar Shave Club, who I've talked about before on the show, and I would have loved to have had as a sponsor, but I quit them recently. And I'd been a Dollar Shave Club user for, I want to say I started buying Dollar Shave Club about like 8-9 years ago, something like that, just for myself. I would just buy them every now and again. And then I started being a subscriber about like 5-6 years ago. And loyal to a fault, like I would give some of my razors to people so they could try them because that's how much I believed in the product. Now they've changed their razor blades, so the blades aren't—they're not the same quality. They've done something to the forging process or whatever, but these blades are not the same quality. And you know, most razors have that little like moisturizing strip that's on it to kind of help keep your head and scalp from getting too inflamed or infected. Well, that shit falls off. The last couple of orders I had, they had this like aquamarine kind of bluish looking strip, which they kind of helped alleviate some of the razor burn and irritation. You know what I mean? Nothing really fixes it 100%, but it helped. At one point, they were just falling out. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is with the quality? These things are just falling off. Then I got these orange ones, and they look like glue. Like when you shave and I pull it away from my head, I can actually see strands of this orange shit coming off my skin. I'm like, ugh. So as much as it pains me, I had to cut them off because I was like, I've loved this company until recently. And whatever you guys have done, you need to go and take this shit back to formula. You need to rewind your shit 5 years back to when it was actually a solid, decent product and I could stand behind it. But I've stopped Dollar Shave Club for that reason, just because I see the value in voting with your dollars. But I also will tell you, too, why I'm doing this, too. You're like, well, why would you leave? Oh, because you're trash. Because you're absolutely garbage right now. And I don't believe in rewarding bad behavior. And I certainly don't believe in letting somebody bend me over and pay them for the privilege of doing it. Like, I don't know what part of the game that is, but you got me all the way fucked up with that. I don't play them kind of games at all. So I got to get rid of them. The only thing that sucks is I have like a couple packs of them left. And I don't even feel confident in throwing them out, you know, I mean, handing them to somebody else because I don't want somebody else to get sliced up like I got. And now, like, I've noticed when I had to shave with them, I don't get nearly as close of a shave or smooth of a shave. And when I do try to get a smooth shave, I'm slicing pieces of my face off. So I'm like, nope, I'm just going to go back to Gillette. It's going to suck because it's going to cost way more money. I guess I'm just going to have to learn how to make these razors last a lot longer. I don't know what the fuck to do. If you got a recommendation for a good shaving company, hit me up at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios or hit me over on Blue Sky at w1studios.bsky.social. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. If there's a product that you recommend out there, I'd be willing to try it. I don't necessarily need like a promo code, and although if you've got one, I'll take it. You know what I mean? If you got like somebody's like, hey, they do a free trial of this, I'm down for free. Just to give it a test. But if it's something that I like, I have no problems with paying for a good quality product. I really don't. Because I feel like rewarding people for doing a good job is just basic common goodness, you know, common decency. Also, punishing people for bad behavior is another good thing, too. Like, we just let people slide on shit. They will continue to slide on shit. They won't act right, you know. So you gotta stand up to those kind of people. It's funny because I said that and I looked down and I'm like, oh, this is the note I thought of. I was listening to this podcast called Are You Garbage? If you get a chance to listen to it, it's goofy and it's hilarious. And it'll make you start to think about your friends. They even have a card game too. Not a sponsor, just saying. Great podcast, funny dudes. I think you might like it. And they had they had people write in, which I loved because they did a lot of letters from their fans, which I think would be great if I got more from mine. Hint, hint. But one of the things they read was, are you garbage if you keep a little like 50 milliliter bottle of Fireball whiskey in your medicine cabinet? We have this because people are snoopy around the house sometimes. So we have a medicine cabinet and it says,
a bottle of this in the medicine cabinet, and it's like very prominently displayed, I guess, with a note on it that says, "Caught you snooping, take a shot." And I'm like, that's funny. There's no way to make people do it. The only way to bust people doing it would be to have like a camera in there and be like, "Saw you in there, Frank. Open the bottle, take a shot." But it is funny. I think that'd be great. That's a fun way to punish people, except for if they have to drive or if they get really sick really easily. Then it would be not cool. Yeah, that's great. I'm not thinking about food now. I had some food last. I ate way too late. I should have eaten a little bit earlier. But I did not. Womp womp. But yeah, man, I recently found these chicken nuggets over at Walmart. I don't really like fucking with Walmart, but there's not a lot of options out here. And the other day I was talking to the missus, and I was like, you know what? We should just do like girl dinner kind of shit. Let's just eat like children. Let's get some chicken nuggies and fries and just call it a day, right? So I go looking, and I'm like, I got to find something that's going to be reasonably priced, give me a decent amount of bang for my buck, and then, you know, obviously you've got to have the right dietary requirements, right? So I stumbled upon these. You could check them out if you get a chance. It's by Real Good Foods. Real Good Foods Company is what it's called. And they're their chicken breast nuggets. This was a pretty damn good value. It's a 1 pound, 4 ounce bag, right? I think when I picked them up, they were like, I want to say like maybe $9. Maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, somewhere between $9 and $11 for this, like basically a pound of chicken, a pound and a little bit more of chicken nuggets. I grabbed three of them. And man, one, these are nuggets. I mean, they're chunky. Throw them on a little cooking sheet, sprayed it down with a little bit of olive oil so they didn't stick and burn. Cooked them according to the recipe. They came out so nice. And the only thing I could think would have been better is if we had bothered to take like a little bit of extra time and actually like let them thaw just a tiny bit and then fried them in just a little bit of like, you know, just a little tiny bit of corn oil. Because then they would have been nice and crispy and they would have also been cooked all the way through. You know what I mean? Like they were cooked all the way through when I did them in the oven, but you know what I mean? But if you don't cook them with a lot of oil, you don't boil them in oil or anything like that. But you fry them just like maybe like a quarter cup of oil in a skillet and layer the whole skillet with those things. Bro, them joints probably come out real good. But I know that when I ate them, we were just impressed. They're healthy servings of nuggets. I mean, they're decent sized. And they were absolutely delicious. There wasn't like we didn't even really do anything to season them. I think I may have sprinkled a little bit of that Badia Sazón Completa or whatever on it. That's about it. But it wasn't even a lot. They were just naturally, if I just not done nothing to them, they'd have been naturally delicious. It was amazing. I'm looking for some more stuff to cook like that too. I actually saw something about gluten-free lumpia wrappers I gotta check out. Because I want to try to make lumpia. I also want to try to make this hargao. It's like a soup, not even a soup dumpling. It's not exactly sure how to describe it. It's kind of like, you know, like a shui mai dumpling or something. But yeah, I saw like a recipe for those. If I could find the right wrappers for them, I'd love to go and do something like that. It was like, I think it was like, one was just chicken and like some vegetables. Lots of spring onions, my wife was like not thrilled about. But I'm honestly, if you add the right amount of vegetables to anything like that, like you're not even going to really notice them or taste them. It's going to be mixed in there, you know? It's like if I added something funky to a meatball, you know what I mean? If I was like, oh, I put like red bell pepper in the meatballs, you'd be like, unless I left like a big chunk of it in there, you would never know. If you dice them up finely enough, you're not even going to notice or care because it'll be like, this is delicious. But yeah, I saw that and I'm like, I really want to try making some more of that kind of stuff. And I got to get some fucking gluten-free bread flour. I miss being able to make my own bread. And I got said the other day, I was telling everybody, I'm like, it's a great thing to be able to do. And it does take a lot of time. It's very time intensive as a process to bake your own bread. But we were saving so much more money when I was making my own bread because I wasn't having to spend like $8.50 a loaf to make one loaf, you know, just for one loaf of bread. I could make the exact same thing at home. And I mean, I get like, pay like 14, 15 bucks for a bag of flour. I get two actual small, bread style, just like loaves out of it, just regular sandwich loaves. And then I have enough to make a sourdough round out of it. So I never really needed to buy extra stuff. I mean, the ingredients are so minuscule. The amount of ingredients that you're using are in such minuscule qualities that the cost that those add to the baking is negligible. The most expensive thing about it is the flour and the time. But even that, for the reward and the savings, I got to go back to doing that, my guys. If you got any ideas for a gluten-free bread too, like maybe a baked good. I've been having a hell of a time trying to find a way to make like a gluten-free puff pastry that I could use for various things. I miss croissants. I'm obviously probably never be able to eat one again for the rest of my life. But if I could get like a puff pastry that I could fold and roll just like a croissant and be close enough, that would be the Mac. I would love to be able to do that. But if you got any ideas, let me know. I would love to hear them. And we're going to close it off with some fun stuff. Well, football stuff at least. But I was watching this thing the other day. I catch shows every now and again on Netflix. We talk about some media stuff here too. I was watching this show, Record of Ragnarok. I'll be honest with you. Like, I liked the starting of Record of Ragnarok. It's a very bizarre anime. And it feels like the animation quality is probably the weirdest thing about it. Like, the storyline is, it's okay. It's not great. But, you know, the animation quality is so inconsistent. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure weird. You know, if anybody's watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you know that sometimes the animation quality drops through the floor. Sometimes it's stellar, but most of the time it's kind of average. And then sometimes it's downright abysmal. And even some of the character designs that you see in this show, I wonder if there's like former JoJo animators that worked on this show too. It just, I don't know, there's something about it just doesn't always sit right with me. It's very bizarre in the story, which I don't really necessarily mind. But it's also the way it's concocted and put together. Like, I feel like they're either rushing the story too much at certain points, or they're dragging it out too long for no real good reason. And I'm like, who gives a shit about this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when a show has like a really weird story point, you're like, nobody cares. Like, why? How does this enrich the story at all? There's not a lot of that, but there's enough of it in that show that you're like, I'd rather have a filler. I'd rather have a beach episode. You know what I mean? Or an onsen episode than to watch this shit again. Onsen, by the way, is a Japanese bathhouse episode. I'd rather have one of those kind of episodes, which are notorious in anime as filler episodes, by the way. The beach episode is probably the most egregious one of them all, right next to the onsen bathhouse. But yeah, I'd rather have one of those than to listen to this dude's fucking weird story. So if you're checking out Record of Ragnarok, going with little to no expectations, and you still might leave disappointed. I didn't hate it, but I just knew it wasn't blowing my socks off or anything. And then I just realized, I went back through some games, because today is going to be a stream day as well. And I had ignored this game called World of Final Fantasy Maxima. I got it years ago for the Xbox, and I just realized recently that it's also available on Nintendo Switch, which I think when I got Maxima the first time around, I bought it on like a weird sale. It was like $6 or something. Like, I don't remember. It was like really, it seemed really inexpensive at the time. But now I'm looking at a physical edition for Nintendo Switch, which is significantly more expensive, but I would rather have it and have it, you know what I mean? Since I'm going to be probably dropping Xbox from my rotation of streaming stuff once the live drops. Once the Game Pass subscription runs out, like, I think it's going to be next week our subscription runs out. And yeah, we're not likely to return to that because Xbox has given us all no real good reasons to stick with them anymore. But I'm curious, man. I might have to go and, you know, pop a little coin on Nintendo, see what they're talking about. I don't know. What do you guys think? I know you've heard me talk about digital delivery and, like, you know, the problems that we can run into when it comes to gaming and putting all our stuff on digital devices as opposed to having, like, hard copies of data that you can use and access, like a cartridge or an actual CD or something, or DVD. What are your thoughts? I'd like to hear some more about that, too. You know, and if you got any thoughts about the other stuff I talked about, politics and international fuckery that's going on, feel free to drop a message about that as well. We're going to wrap this up with a little bit of football talk. Let me get up out of here because I do need to stop by the store. Stream is going to be probably a little bit late because it's going to take some time to edit and author and all that jazz. But it will be out today, so at least you won't know this until it hits you, but, you know, at least that'll happen. And the stream will come out, and it'll happen today, too. But let's talk football, baby! Wow, what a week. Wrong again. One out of three ain't bad, though. Let's start with the kind of surprising. I think I mentioned this already. You know, Pittsburgh versus the Baltimore Ravens. If I remember, I got this right, I might be wrong about this. Let me just make sure I got this right. Yeah. Nope, I'm right. Yeah. Next week is the crazy week. It's wild card week. It's going to be something special. But this past week, boy, howdy. I was wrong, children. I was dead wrong. Well, not dead wrong. I thought the Steelers-Pittsburgh game was going to be a tight one. And it was. It was. It wasn't a knockdown, drag-out, runaway kind of thing. You know, like, where you're like, oh, shit, not knockdown. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, push them over and run away with their lunch money kind of thing. It was actually a fight. And Pittsburgh managed to come out on top, 26-24 over the Baltimore Ravens. So congratulations to them. And then what the fuck, Chicago? How did you fucking lose to the Detroit Lions? I'm actually kind of glad I wasn't able to see that game because I would have just walked away more angry than I already am right now. You know what I mean? excuse me. Oh, man. Pardon me. It felt like I swallowed it. Like one of those cockle burrs. Little sand prickers or whatever. I felt like I swallowed one of those tied to a gnat. Oh, good Lord, that hurt. Anyway, Chicago, shame on you for losing to Detroit. Detroit was one of the worst teams in the friggin' league. And you already whooped them before. And you just took it right. Ugh. I'm firmly of the opinion, in all real talk, I'm firmly of the opinion that the only people that can beat the Chicago Bears, really, are the Chicago Bears and the referees. Because if the Chicago Bears don't do stupid shit on the field and don't give up penalties so the referees can hit them with them, they hit them over the head with them a lot. And Chicago doesn't do themselves any favors. But if Chicago could get out of their own fucking way, they would probably be sitting at like 14. You know what I mean? Instead of 11. Like, they could be 14-3, even 15-2 if they would get out of their own way, but they just can't seem to stop screwing themselves over. It's a little sad. It's a little sad and very disappointing as a fan. I really want them to pull it together. I don't know that they will, and especially not in time for next week, which is a whole other ball of wax. We'll get to that in a second. Congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars, on the other hand, for doing exactly what they were supposed to do. Putting the Titans down 3-14, Jacksonville goes up to 13-4 with a 41-7 victory over Tennessee. And it looked like at the very outset of the game they were about to lose this joint, but they rallied back something fierce and put a hurting on Tennessee. Now, it's not that it's that easy to beat up a 3-14 team, but, I mean, we just watched Chicago lose.
You know what I mean? And the Lions aren't like world beaters, but the Bears were a better team any day, clearly. Like the Lions were, they weren't bums. You know what I mean? But they didn't deserve that win. But Jacksonville absolutely does. So congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars on a game well played. I was watching for a little while, and then I had to turn it off because I was getting frustrated and nervous. And so I was like, I'm going to catch this shit later. But that brings us up to next week, which is wild card week.
This one is for all the marbles. At least all the marbles that are left on the table anyway.
And next week is going to be a bizarre one, to say the least. Oh, there it is. I was wondering where it was going to go. So, I was like, oh man, I know I'm missing a game right now.
So, Jacksonville meets up with the Buffalo Bills next week. This one's going to be a tough one. Jacksonville definitely needed the confidence boost, which is kind of sad to say it. I mean, you're beating up on the little weak kid in class this past week. The Bills ain't going to just let you beat up on them. That's not going to happen. I don't know. But I do
believe that Jacksonville has the chops to take this. Now, already having clinched the AFC South is another big ego boost for them. But I just hope that they don't take it for granted. And like I said, you can't snooze on the Buffalo Bills. You just can't. Like, you can't give them any quarter. If the Buffalo Bills see any weakness in the Jaguars, they're going to stomp on them. And it won't be pretty. I'm gonna put my money on the Jaguars though, just because I want to see the hometown boys do good, and I'm tired of my guys losing. Come on, get it together. I need y'all to get your shit together. I want to be proud again. Oh my god! And then, of course, on Monday we've got the Texans versus the Steelers. This is another one of those games. I mean, it's the red, white, and blue series, man. I don't know. I want the Steelers to take out the Texans. I don't know that they will. And I mean, who does know, right? Any given Sunday. I just don't have a lot of confidence that they can do it. So I'm going to give Houston the win with the caveat that I sincerely hope that I'm wrong. And then, of course, the Super Bowl. I think now is the third time that Green Bay and Chicago have met up. At Soldier Field on Saturday. The Packers and Bears meet up. I think it's their third meeting this season. They met twice already. It's 1-1 for that series. And now here they go up against one another for a wild card spot. It looks like the Packers at 9-7-1. The Chicago Bears at 11-6. And they're a 6-2 favorite at home. I'm going to put my money on my Bears. I just want to see them make good. I just want to see the hometown boys make good. And I'm tired of us getting, I say us, but I'm tired of watching Chicago get slapped around by Green Bay, three or four times a year. It feels like it only happens like every, once or twice a year at the most. But like now here it is three times we're going to run up against Green Bay, and I need them to put Green Bay to sleep. Just for my own sense of security, like the sanity and peace of mind, I need them to make them go night night. Nothing against you if you're a Green Bay fan. We all have family tragedy somewhere in our lives. But I just need your team to lose. I'm sure you're probably all lovely, wonderful people, but I need your team to go down in flames. Sorry, Chicago fan, through and through. Balls to bones. That's how I see it. So good luck to everybody, no matter what happens. Keep your eyes on the skies, man. I don't know what's going on with this world, and I'm kind of a little nervous. But I'm more nervous that we don't take care of one another than I am that the crazy evil people are going to do something to take us out. So, like I said, look out for one another the best you can. Do your best to take care of your neighbor, take care of your friends and family, take care of just the people around you. Even if they're not like, the coolest people in the world sometimes, it's going to take all of us to stand up to
the bizarre and the evil and the corrupt. And the more of us we have working together, the fewer of us that they can use to put a wedge between us. So just keep that in mind moving forward as this day and all the days in between here until the end. Appreciate you guys. Can't wait to see y'all again. Check me out over on Twitch. Like I said, twitch.tv/linkib. All the links are in the description of the podcast. I'm going to try to adjust the schedule. I'm going to be taking a little time off of streaming for a little bit to do some design work and just kind of take a break. But I will be doing the podcast at least because it only requires one day a week for me. So stick around, come back, hit the Patreon if you want, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And I'll catch you guys next week. And good luck to us in this new year, man. See you guys later a little further on down the road. Peace.